We know. This is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee.
I don't need you to tell me how good my coffee is, okay?
Hello and welcome to the first installment of a very new podcast called A Damn Fine Cup of Culture. It's about, well, culture. Maybe we can narrow it down for you. It will be mainly about movies, TV series, probably a spot of video games, and maybe, if we're in the mood, a little literature. But that's for later. It's the first one. Let's see how it goes. That's my voice. My name is Maga. I'm not alone. My good friend and colleague on the other side of, I wanted to say the globe, which is not true. The other side of this line is Matt, and I think he has something to say about, what are we going to talk about, Matt? I think it's Sherlock, right?
Exactly. I mean, the piece of culture that I wanted to bring along is Sherlock, and especially the final episode, well, final episode of season 4 of Sherlock. It might be the final episode altogether, but I guess we will find that out, whether they will do more or not. Perhaps just quickly, because this is the first episode, the idea is that we always, one of us brings along a piece of culture, and this might be something that we really liked, that we want to share with the world. It might also be something that we found really surprising or confusing or infuriating even. So it's not necessarily stuff that we recommend. Sometimes our recommendation might be avoid this at all costs. And exactly. You know, it's a public service. And in this case, I have to say that Sherlock, The Final Problem, which was the third episode of season 4 of BBC's Sherlock, is one that I would actually recommend against it. To be quite honest, it pissed me off. I would say I was a pretty big fan of Sherlock when it launched, like most people. I mean, it not only launched a cool, fun, exciting series, but it also, I would say, launched the careers of Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. But at this point, after watching the fourth season, and especially after watching The Final Problem, I think they should have stopped at least a year ago. You also just rewatched it, I think, right?
I wanted to. Didn't have the chance. I'm sorry. Okay.
Not a problem at all. I think I will have enough to rant about. I mean, I can perhaps just quickly say what I liked about Sherlock to begin with, and then why the final episode and final season pissed me off. I thought that to begin with, Sherlock was basically fun. It was witty. It was exciting. It was, I think, very good entertainment. It was basically a hoot. It wasn't a comedy or an out-and-out comedy, but it had a very sharp, witty, funny script. And the actors it had, I mean, that's one thing that was true up to the very end. Sherlock had great actors, actors that worked really well in their parts. I mean, I couldn't imagine anyone else than Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman in their roles, but also the smaller roles. You know, whether that's any of the supporting characters, basically, all very well cast. But the problem is, like what happens so often with series, they feel that they have to basically escalate. They feel they have to always top what they did before, which is understandable, but it's difficult. If you start as well as Sherlock did in its first season, and I would say in much of its second season, those weren't flawless by all means. I mean, they also had bad episodes, but they were very much bad episodes. On the whole, they worked well. I mean, they basically, that series came out of the stable racing. And then they tried to top it by killing off, did they or didn't they style, Sherlock. And then, of course, he wasn't dead. I mean, it is Sherlock Holmes after all. But then, where do you go from that? And I think what they should have done was, you know, look at what are the actual strengths of the series. But what they did do was they thought, let's make this dark. Let's make this gritty. And that's just not the strength of the series. It's not the strength of the writers. I think they've done stuff that was, you know, moderately serious and worked, but dark and gritty just doesn't work. And they, I mean, basically what they ended up with in The Final Problem was something that was like a mix of, I would say, Shutter Island on the one hand. You've got, you know, an insane, basically insane villains on an island. It's part Shutter Island, it's part, I don't know, DC Comics, the Phantom Zone or something, and it's partly, you know, that, do you remember that 90s game show Fort Boyard?
Oh, yes.
I mean, especially like that. You take some people, you lock them in a room on an island, and they have to do stupid puzzles. And if they don't manage to solve the puzzles, people die. And even if they do solve the puzzles, people die. Problem is, the people that die are people that we've never seen before. We don't care about them. They might as well just be extras. So there's no stakes. There's pretty much no stakes. But at the same time, they try to convince us that this is the biggest villain of them all. This is the biggest evil of them all. In a series that already had, you know, Moriarty, who supposedly was the biggest villain of them all. And I think that's another problem. You know, they've got their villain. They've got basically a surprise sibling, which never really bodes well. And that surprise villain, that surprise sibling, the long-lost sister of Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes, she's basically a generic... I am mad, you know, but I'm also a genius. And they basically had that with Moriarty. Moriarty was a wibbly-wobbly mad genius. And Euros Holmes, I think she's acted well. As I said, I think the actors are good. Mm-hmm. I think, what's her name, Sean Brooke, I'm probably completely mispronouncing it. But she does as much with the script as she can. But basically, it feels like a retread. It feels like a hollowed-out copy of a copy, and that just doesn't work. I mean, I don't know. You haven't rewatched it, but you also watched it. What did you think of it?
I thought the acting was fine, but that's the only thing that I can remember that I liked. It's always problematic to have a sort of villain behind the villain, because how far you want to push that, you know. It could be some kind of Russian doll thing. It might never end, and it doesn't improve with every new installment. I would have preferred if they would have done it much simpler. Shutter Island is absolutely fine with me, but I would have locked Sherlock in a barren room without a door, no way out. He doesn't know how he came in there or whatever. And do the same to another person. Maybe to that WPC that was in the very first episode. Remember that one who had an affair with that Jonathan Aris character?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think those two simple sidekicks, small roles, but they were interesting. I thought something could have come from them.
Yeah, they were also human. I mean, that's one thing that the big-ass crazy villains just aren't. They're not human.
yeah. And the series basically dropped them without another word. And I thought, why not her? I mean, that woman, she doesn't like Sherlock. Sherlock doesn't like her, on basic principle. And she once said that he would turn evil. Just watch. He's gonna stand over a dead body, and he's the one that did it, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Something along those lines. I would have picked up there somehow, but that's just my idea. The crazy sibling is sort of all right. I wasn't bored, but I thought, come on, they pulled something out of a hat, and I knew. Before I saw the rabbit, that it would be a rabbit. That was my judgment at the time, and it still is. Maybe I'll feel the same after a rewatch. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that with seasons 1 and seasons 2 and some of season 3, I basically, after watching them, I felt, yeah, I'm looking forward to rewatching them. With season 4, no, not really. There were moments that were good. There were scenes that were funny. I think some of the side characters got really good moments, and even the last episode had some good moments with Molly, for instance, but they don't lead anywhere. And I'm thinking one of the problems is this. I mean, Sherlock himself, he's an over-the-top character, and that's fine. He is a comic book character. He's not realistic. He's Sherlock Holmes. And he's Benedict Cumberbatch, who is also not a real character, I think. He was created in a lab somewhere out of, you know, cheekbones or something, cheekbones and hair. But for me, that only really works if most of the other characters are regular characters. If Sherlock Holmes, the comic book character, rubs against relatively real characters. And they still have some of that with John Watson, but I think John Watson himself has become a bit mythologized by now, and pretty much everyone in The Final Problem was out of that same comic book universe, so there was no real basis. And if there's no real basis, it's very difficult to relate, it's very difficult to care. But at the same time, I think the episode very much seemed to want us to care, you know. They seemed to want to tell us, this is personal tragedy, this is personal drama, this is loss and everything. And it isn't. No, the personal drama doesn't work at all. You can't have comic book characters that you treat as one-dimensional, over-the-top comic book characters, and then suddenly you're supposed to care about their personal drama. If you do that, you have to be bloody good. I mean, someone like Joss Whedon has managed two or three times in his career, and even he didn't manage it consistently. I think the makers of Sherlock, they managed every now and then in Doctor Who, but in this one, no, it just felt like what, you know, in German TV they call it event TV. I'm not sure whether they also call it that in English TV. And it felt very much like that. It felt like something that's cooked up in a lab, that's supposed to be an event that's bigger than everything before. And if you just keep doing that, escalate, at some point it just, you know, it turns into a fart bag that you've blown up so much that it just goes and then it's gone. I think that's just a real shame, because the series itself, it had personality, it had a sense of fun, and I agree with you, basically it's the small scale stuff. I mean, Sherlock is big enough, Sherlock is larger than life. You don't have to have everything else larger than life as well, and if you do it, you damn better, you know, make it well written, and this was just not it.
Yep, true. As you said, the four Boyar bits, those what do you call them, parlor games, they were the worst. They it felt like they didn't have a complete 90-minute screenplay, and so they added 10 minutes of doors opening, doors closing, you know, some sort of basic Hunger Games on a Nintendo.
Exactly.
You know, first the artificial dogs, and then the artificial fire, and then the artificial limit, and then the tree, and then the clock, blah, blah, blah. Things like that, you know. And you can score points. Nah, it's sort of... It felt like the worst bits felt like bad grunt work. There was nothing inspiring, nothing even remotely with the spark that was in the first season and the second season. I probably liked it a little bit better than you, but I still was sort of puzzled.
I mean, it's also, once the whole, basically the plot is over, they have this resolution of kind of an epilogue with John Watson's dead wife, who's recorded yet another kind of you know, DVD with wise words to the boys of Baker Street, and that just felt insulting. That just felt saccharine and smug, and I think what they were aiming for was something poignant. You know, this is a dead character coming to say, you know, you guys matter. You matter to the world. You make the world a better place.
Yeah.
To which I just think, bullshit. You know, they've basically turned themselves into something entirely artificial. So they make the world a better place. I'm sorry, but you haven't earned the sentimentality. Rather the opposite. I think they were better at the sentimental when it was small scale. They had moments in season one, season two. I remember the very end of season two when Sherlock supposedly has died and John Watson is at his grave. Very simple, very quiet moment. I mean, yes, it was sentimental, but it was earned sentimentality and it was well done sentimentality. Martin Freeman does that kind of thing so well. And you sat there and you knew, of course, Sherlock isn't dead. This is Sherlock Holmes. Even in the books originally, he came back from the dead. So he's going to come back from the dead in this as well. There's no surprise about that. But Watson thinks he's dead. And Martin Freeman convincingly acts like someone who's just lost his best friend. That was a moment of sentimentality that worked. End of season four? No way.
Yeah, I forgot about those last few minutes. Those were really, really bad.
Yeah.
It felt tacked on. It felt it looked like something, I don't know. I just remembered if Dirk Diggler would have done a trailer for his new series, it would sound like that, you know. we're the best, we're new, you know, we get the women and we get the cars.
Exactly. And
yeah, no, that was, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's almost as bad as those last, what was it, about 5 minutes of Battlestar Galactica, you remember, at the very end of the series. And I have to say, I would defend most of the rest of the series, even when other people say it already jumped the shark. I would say it still held up, it was flawed, but there was a lot that held up. But then there's these last 5 minutes, a jump forward to modern-day New York, I guess, or probably they filmed it in Vancouver, as they always did.
Yeah.
And they basically had, you know, an epilogue that ended with robots more or less dancing to Jimi Hendrix. I mean, I'm very much summarizing. I'm not being totally fair here, but it was basically one of the dumbest endings of a series I'd ever seen. And I think the season 4 epilogue, Sherlock, is similarly dumb and smug at the same time, and that's just not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it got me to think. I think it's almost a bit of a trope, you know, series that went on for too long, series that should have ended way before they ended. And I started to think, you know, what kind of series have I watched where I thought, okay, this went on for too long? And I realized most of the series where people say it went on for too long, you know, series like Dexter, series like mm-hmm. Heroes,
mm-hmm.
I watched one season and already there felt, yeah, I've seen enough of that. I don't see how they can top it. Apparently with Dexter, it got really good at some point, but I think I'm lucky in that there's very few series that I've watched other than Sherlock where I thought, yeah, this went on for too long. Possibly Lost, but I'm not sure that Lost's problem was that it went on for too long, but that they simply had no idea how to end it.
Yeah, I think so too. Lost was pretty much, well, Lost in its own plot. They didn't know what to do, and it, claiming afterwards that they exactly knew where to end up was complete bogus.
Yeah.
Well, things that went on too long, I would like to quote House, because it went on for pretty much two seasons too long. They could have ended it much, much more graceful and better in quality. Yeah. I don't know, it's... what else? Sorry, I'm drawing a blank right here.
No problem. I mean, I don't know, perhaps we're just more selective with our series, or perhaps we're just more lucky with our series.
Well, I think we know what we want, you know. Some people will watch anything. That doesn't mean they just like it without any kind of criticism. They just watch
mm-hmm.
one, two episodes. I don't know. I imagine some people watch one or two episodes almost every evening.
Yeah.
Until the end. And then they decide, yeah, I like it because, or I don't like it because. I much more prefer to be, you know, I like to dip my toe in the water, see what it feels like, give it a chance for a few episodes, and then decide yes or no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, now having thought about it some more, there were series that I definitely think, you know, stuff like Buffy, which I really loved, stuff like Star Trek The Next Generation, which mm-hmm. basically, you know, as a teenage nerd, I adored. These days, I find it very difficult to rewatch some of it, but I think those series, the series that did not try to be, you know, serial, that basically were just very episodic, you'd always have episodes that were shit, and you'd have episodes that were good, and you'd have episodes that were okay. But mm-hmm. but I think to some extent you watch those for a different reason. I mean, you don't have that much of an overarching plot. You just, you know, it's basically, it's Wednesday evening. I want to hang out with Buffy and the gang. I want to hang out with Jean-Luc Picard and his crew. And I think what you expect of a series then is also slightly different. Because if you've got a bad episode, you've still hung out with your friends, so to speak. But these days, when so many series very much aim at being, you know, having an overarching narrative, you mm-hmm. also have different expectations. And I think that's possibly the problem, that those series that at the same time want to have an overarching narrative, but at, you know, if they're successful, they're going to continue them as long as they can, in most cases. And I think that is just a bad combination. They might have a starting point in mind, they might have an end point in mind, but if they then have to go on for 5, 6, 7 seasons that they didn't plan for, it very quickly feels like they're treading water, like they're just running around in circles and waiting until the series is less successful, and that's just never a kind of good basis for a strong series. You mentioned House. I have to say I completely forgot the last two seasons, and I felt better for it, so thanks for reminding me. But yeah, I mean, that was definitely one of those cases. Yeah. It's a shame, because it's a bit similar to, you know, season length. I actually have come around to thinking almost no series should have seasons that are 20 episodes, because once you have that, so much of it just feels like filler. Even some of the classic series, you know, stuff like Twin Peaks, there's episodes where you feel, okay, we don't need this. We do not need James Hurley singing.
Yeah, true. I think TV is learning that it's probably better to have 8, 10, maybe 12, 15 episodes at the outside. It's much better than 24, 28 or 30 or whatever they do these days. There is a point where you realize the writing is no longer what it was. It's sort of deteriorating, or we are sort of paraphrasing ourselves. We're retreading already covered ground.
Mm-hmm.
And an 8 or a 10 episode show doesn't have to do. Legion doesn't repeat itself. Stranger Things doesn't repeat itself. Yeah. Why should it? Because the characters are no longer the same at the end of an episode as they were at the beginning. So they know that they can't afford a stinker.
Mm-hmm.
House is perfectly conscious of having a few stinkers, I think. And you could set up a homepage and say, look, these are stinkers, don't watch them. You have a longer life because you have to watch less TV, and these are the quality episodes. Just follow this homepage. It'll mm-hmm. improve in quality, and it'll be shorter, mercifully shorter. And you've seen the best of, sort of, you know. It's like a musical album. It's like a CD. It's mm-hmm. the best of.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
No problem. I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I think one thing that's a bit of a shame with these best of things is, I think series, especially long-running series, you know, whether we're talking about, as I mentioned, Buffy, Star Trek The Next Generation, The X-Files, even Lost, a lot of the appeal after a certain time comes from, you know, you've spent so much time with these characters. Either you enjoy spending time with these characters or you're a masochist, but very few people continue watching a series if they hate the characters, unless they've got way too much time on their hands. And that is kind of somehow lost. I had a conversation on Facebook recently exactly about Star Trek The Next Generation, and there's episodes there that are really bad. I would actually say that the average episode is not particularly good. But by the time you get to the good episodes, they also mean more, because you've spent so much time with the characters. It's a bit like Stockholm Syndrome, basically. You know, these people have hijacked your life. And at that point, you know, in order to make it worthwhile, you basically have come to care about them.
Yeah. I think it's also the comfort that you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, you're coming home in the evening, you know what you're going to get. You know, same flat, same girlfriend, same series, same characters. So... I think there's safety in that.
Yep.
Other people need the unknown, they need the thrill, and they watch something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Except, I mean, all of this, to perhaps come back to the starting point, all of this doesn't really work with Sherlock so much, because Sherlock, from the beginning, you had basically seasons of 3 episodes. You had the first 3 seasons with 3 episodes, then you had a kind of Christmas special that was, well, a mixed bag, and then you had the 4th season. That's very different. I mean, they tried for an overarching plot, but mostly it was much more like, you know, every now and then you get a Sherlock episode, and because there's so few of them, it's special. Except when there's so few of them and then they turn to shit, it doesn't feel special. It feels special in a very non-special way. Here's a special bag of shit. Yay.
Yeah, different breeds of dog, you know. High-class dogs, you know, expensive dogs.
Exactly.
Dogs with a fantastic name.
Yeah. Still dogs.
Still dogs, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a shame. I don't know. I mean, perhaps they will continue. If they continue, I hope that they will do one thing, and that's basically go small. but I'm not sure they can. And I'm also starting to think that perhaps it's going to be start being difficult to afford their actors, because I hear this Benedict Cumberbatch guy by now has some steady work in Hollywood as well. So who knows? Perhaps Sherlock will simply die at this point because everyone has other things to do. I mean, even Martin Freeman, he's going to be in... what's he going to be in? I think he's going to be in Black Panther.
I think so. He's in... Isn't he in the trailer talking to Gollum?
Exactly.
They're probably talking about The Hobbit or something.
Exactly. I'd completely forgotten about this. They know each other. It's probably Riddles in the Dark. So
yeah, probably.
In that sense, exactly. In that sense, it probably makes sense that that Sherlock turned into a bad comic book, and they decided, okay, let's try to be in better comic books.
Well, I trust Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss to do some kind of 90-minute send-off. I don't know whether they still have it in them to pull Sherlock out of the doghouse, but. But they should. I think they should. They shouldn't stop like that.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I'd also rather they finished it on a better note than this, because I don't like being pissed off with the series.
True, yeah. We had that with Galactica, so we don't want it with Sherlock.
Yeah, exactly. You hear this, guys? Listen to this podcast.
Yeah, support us. Send us money.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was a good half an hour, I think, about Sherlock and all things related to it. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot to say. I surprised myself. You had even more to say. You came prepared. I didn't. I would like to thank you, first of all, because you took care of the technical side. You invited me to talk here. And I would like to thank everyone who's listening to this. In case you liked it, the podcast is called A Damn Fine Cup of Culture. And in case you didn't like it, this is Andrew Lloyd Webber's personal podcast.
Okay, thank you very much. And we will see you guys. Actually, we won't, because it is over the internet. You guys will hear us again next month when there's going to be another Damn Fine Cup of Culture.
Thank you for listening.
Cheers.
And until next time, goodbye.
Bye.
She's watching the detectives. Ooh, he's so cute. She's watching the detectives.